Good morning. Happy July. What a nice week we're already having. And even if it was raining and cold outside, it would be a nice week. Because God is on his throne. He continually loves you. Everything he does, everything God does is because he loves you. And he gives you the free will. His love is an invitation, and he gives you the free choice, the free will to respond. What kind of relationship would it be if God compelled you, made you love him, or made you follow Christ, or made you come here this morning? We don't call that love. We don't call that a relationship. That has a different word to it. But in all of that, don't let anybody ever convince you or get away with telling you that you're not priceless. Your value, everything's value, is established by something outside of it. Something outside of it. The Mona Lisa is only the price that it is because people say it's that price. Something outside of that painting has established that that's a one-of-a-kind priceless work of art. Were I to paint that thing, it would be worth painting over, is the only thing my work would be worth. It would be worth nothing. I could put just as much paint of just the same colors on the same size of canvas and have something worthless. So your value is only established because God is God and he made you. He made you in his image. Every step of that way is a compliment, his compliment to you. And of course, the exclamation point about God's valuing you is Jesus on the cross. What a great statement. We need to pass on the value of each individual clearly to them that we come in contact with, any way we can. And greeting them is a great start. Just talking to someone gives the other person value. And even more valuable than that, listening. Listening to them. What a great thing God has done by giving us the church as the body of his Son, that we can have these relationships, that he can tell us over and remind us over and daily give us his word over and over and over again of how much he values us and how much he loves us. Let's go to our Father as we get into today's lesson. Dear Lord, dear Father, we praise you for the great God that you are. Please help us, Lord, to always acknowledge you as priceless, precious, infinitely great and wonderful. Father, we thank you for your word about which we can learn so much about you, about your Son, and about ourselves. Father, I pray that in this lesson now we can come to you with humble hearts, that we can learn from your word, that I can teach in a way that you want me to, and that your name can be glorified in all of our lives by what we learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, being that it's the first of July, I can say this, being that it's the 1st of July, we're about to have the 4th of July. And the 4th of July to Americans is our Independence Day. We celebrate this Independence Day as an event we hold dear to the establishment of our country, to the freedoms we have, to the government we have, to the choice we have. And we hold it, sometimes rather bludgingly, as a badge of honor on our lapels. Hey, knock it off, buddy. It's a free country. Right? You know, we'll pull out "it's a free country" like a weapon. You can't tell me. I can. It's a free country. I can. And then we fill in whatever we can, claiming to do. And in the repetition of those ideas, I think we misunderstand freedom. We misunderstand freedom. Because we sometimes think that freedom, applied freedom, is the possibility and the freedom to do anything we want to do. But when we try that, and we've tried it as societies before, we end up digging ourselves a hole. And we find that's not free at all. The idea that we can each do whatever we want to do, that we can each just head off in whatever direction we want to head off in, has a different name to it. That's called anarchy. Anarchy. Even war, as horrible as war is, as awful as it is, war has rules. War has limitations. War without limitations is beyond. War is awful as it is, but war without limitations is beyond awful. When you want to learn about those sorts of things, and you really don't, except in the warning sense, go look at what happened to Cambodia in the late 20th century. The obliteration of tens of thousands of people, entire sections of the society. Look what Russia did to itself in the first half of the last century. Look what China has done to itself in the obliteration of millions of people. Between Russia and China alone, tens of millions of people obliterated. Freedom is not, true freedom is not being able to do whatever you want to do. True freedom is found in establishing a pathway, in establishing a series of choices that work in concert with our Heavenly Father and with our society. The very last verse of the book of Judges. Turn there, please. Judges 21, verse 24. And the people of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family, and they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. And in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That bleak statement, and it is a bleak statement in the book of Judges, spells the pattern that the Israelites had established for themselves within that book, where they repeatedly chose to do what was right in their own eyes, rather than choosing what was right in God's eyes, choosing to obey His law. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, and the nation fell, and the judges warned, and God came and rescued the nation from whatever disaster they found themselves in, sometimes with an individual, sometimes with a victory, sometimes with a recovery of another type, and the nation would reestablish itself, and God would protect them out of whatever mess they had made and warn them again, and then they chose again what was right in their own eyes. That pattern, doing what's right in your own eyes, that pattern is guaranteed to bring real pain to your own life. Unless you find, unless you mature your perspective to do what God wants us to do, you'll end up finding that freedom, that kind of freedom, is maybe the most restrictive thing you've ever chosen to do. Our prisons are filled with people who chose to make their own way, who chose to do whatever they wanted to do. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Starts with an amazing verse. You'd think it'd be so obvious, so simple, so obvious. Galatians 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. What other purpose would he set you free? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Specifically, within that context, it's freedom from the old law. But Christ is very clear that he came to establish freedom. Christ is very specific that he came that freedom might be realized in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul writes, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the," you don't have to leave Galatians 5, we'll be back there in a second. "But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You see, God has given us free will. God has given us free choices. God has given us something very powerful inside of ourselves, the freedom to choose your own action in the next 30 seconds, 3 seconds, 30 years. You get the freedom to choose. And then he presents in front of us what to choose. And he promises to us that what he lays out in his word and in his Son and from his Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In those things, there is freedom. Real freedom, lasting freedom, joyous freedom. Not doing what I want. It's a real contradiction, but and you've done it yourself. When you fill a day, you find a Saturday, you find a day off somewhere, you find a summer's day, and you just do what you want to do. Pull the cold pizza out of the refrigerator for breakfast and put in a movie, you know, at 9:30 in the morning. And then you shuffle off the other end of the house and find a package of Oreos and decide to eat some Oreos and sit on the couch and read a book, and then you fall asleep reading the book and take a nap. You keep filling your day with one thing you want to do after another thing you want to do in that kind of a me-only perspective. You'll end up finding yourself very dissatisfied about halfway through the day, and you keep going that way, you find yourself pretty miserable. Just doing what I want to do does not bring joy to me. We find it over and over again. Verse 13 of Galatians 5, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you divide and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." God has given us a freedom, and a real freedom. Let me help you out with this. This is kind of came to my focus. My dog taught me this lesson. Now, excuse me. Some of you knew our dog, Ginger, real sweetheart of a dog, and sadly we lost her last November.
She developed a liver failure, either caused by one thing or another. We weren't sure, and she was... anyway, we lost her in November. Very, very quickly, she went from healthy to very, very sick. So we don't have our sweet dog anymore. But I tell you what, there's a whole side, and let me be respectful about it. There's a whole side to not having that dog. That's a bit of a breath of fresh air. Our dog was as sweet as could be, come up to you and lay her head on your lap and look at you with her big eyes, and you scratch her behind the ear, and she was obedient this way and that way, very sweet to children. But if the door was open, thank you, Jim. If the door was open, we picked her up at the pound years ago, and we did some simple tests to find a really sharp, intelligent dog, and so we made sure she was a clever, sharp dog, and we did several things, and where other dogs got confused, Ginger knew exactly what the answer was, what we were trying to show her or teach her or whatever, and so she was very quick. And one of the first things we did is I went down to the dog training school down here, not to train the dog, but to train me how to be an owner of a dog that was trained, and they failed on that. I never really did learn how to train a dog. She would sit and she would do simple things, but man, if she wasn't on her line outside, worse than running off, she was off like a shot. We'd get calls from down the highway. Found your dog. She would start to run and then turn around and look me straight in the eye. And I made the mistake at that point of calling her. And I'd call her. Not a chance. That's when she'd turn her head and, like a flash, down our driveway, across the neighbor's yard, down the street, across that neighbor's yard, and I don't know when I'd see her again. She'd love to ride in the car so much that if I went after her with the car, I could open the door and she'd jump in. But Ginger was not allowed to go outside without a line on. We live on a few acres not far from here. And she had a great big yard to play in, and she could have had a lot of fun and a lot of freedom in that yard, but she would not behave. She would not listen to me, and she would not stay or acknowledge the boundaries. Of course, I never taught her correctly the boundaries of her own yard. My fault, not hers. But because of that, and I felt bad about it, I had to keep her on a line. Every time she went out, she had to be on a line. Every time she went out, she lost her freedom because she demanded her own style of freedom. That's what freedom does to us when it's our style. When we demand to do whatever we want, somebody has to put a line on us. Think about your children. If your children are really obedient, you have to watch after them. If you know your children won't mess up, won't get into something, if you sit in the house and you don't hear any noise at the other end of the house, I don't hear anything. What are the children doing? It's because our children get into things, it's because they disobey us that we have to restrict them. What the one thing a Bible teaches a child to do, there's one thing children are supposed to do according to the Bible. Honor your father and your mother is a lifelong relationship between child and parent given to children and adults. But the one action that a child is given toward their parents is obedience. And a parent with an obedient child can relax a bit. The one thing we need to teach our children is how to be obedient. And in that obedience, they will find freedom. My sons, wanted an air gun or a bigger knife. And I say, you show responsibility with a little bitty knife,
and maybe you can have a bigger one. They start carving on the furniture with a little knife. Not getting a bigger one. They start throwing a bigger knife at each other's feet. You know, whatever they want to do. They're not getting an air gun. It's not happening. If you can't be trusted with this little thing, you're not going to be given this bigger thing. And that's the way God works with us. You see, freedom, real freedom, comes for us when we are obedient. Society works that way. You drove here this morning. Were most of the cars on the right-hand side of the road with you? Did anybody decide to switch sides? Now, there's a self-preservation factor to that rule. But think about how many things in our society work smoothly because we are obedient. You stand in line that way. You go into a store that way. You hold doors open for people. You consider a business owner's shop hours. Oh my goodness, they're closed. Oh well. All right. Learned a lesson from the author and pilot, fighter pilot, Viktor Belenko. If you want to have fun, book has no particular spiritual teachings in it at all, but the book is MiG Pilot. Viktor Belenko in 1976, I believe, is the guy. He's the one who flew the MiG-25 from the USSR and landed it in Japan. Nearly got himself shot down, but then gave us the plane. We took it apart, learned everything could, put it back together, gave it back to the Russians. But Viktor Belenko was brought into this country and finally given citizenship in this country. And in one of his first days in the country, he suspected everything he saw. Everything he saw was a CIA setup. Everything he saw was a lie. And they were trying to get him some clothes to wear and some this and some that. And so they went to Northern Virginia, and they went on a Monday morning to a little strip mall, several stores, and there was a men's store there. And he walked into the store with the agent who was taking him around, and he looked around and said, CIA setup. You can tell. I know. I mean, you think they'd be more cooperative, more creative than this. This is obviously a fake store, because there's only two clerks in this whole store, and the walls are packed with good-looking clothing. If this was a real store, people would be hoarding the clothes, pulling them off the rack, and running out the door. So I know that this is a fake. He began to learn what it meant to have a society in which people cooperated and followed laws. It's amazing how many things and how much of our society is really free because we're cooperative and obedient and submissive to one another. We read from 1 Peter. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. We looked at 2 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Be subject to the Lord. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by so doing you should put to silence the ignorant, foolish people. Live as people who are free. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king or the emperor. You see, our submission to our government puts us in a position where we can enjoy what God says is real freedom. That you can safely drive your family down the highways of this country because you know that people are going to pay attention to the signs around you. And by and large, they do. We try to get away with saying, well, everybody's speeding out there. And everybody's a crazy driver. You know, everybody out there is a crazy driver. You know, everybody's stealing from their boss and from their company. And everybody's cheating on their taxes. And everybody, it's not true. Everybody isn't doing all those terrible things. Mostly, we live around a people who've been taught that there's right and wrong. There's value in things, and there's lesser value in other things. All of those principles come because we have established in our society and in our country that there is a God. All of the following of right, all of the following of value, comes because we acknowledge a creator God. There's not enough police. If you take God out of the picture, if you take right and wrong out of the picture, there's not enough police to get us to obey the laws. You can't do it. One law after another, after another, after another, after another, after another is followed carefully and obeyed because we choose to. And instead of anarchy, we have an organized society where things aren't just stolen because they happen to be sitting there. People find a wallet, and most high percentage of people will work hard to find the owner of that wallet and return the money to them. Lots of people want to twist it around. They call Christianity a restrictive religion. They say, well, in Christianity, they always want to tell you what you have to do. They're always telling you what to do. They're telling you what to do. I tell myself what to do. I run my own life. Nobody tells me what to do. I run my own life. Christianity has been accused of being a restrictive, controlling religion for a long time. Aleck Huxley, the writer from last century, famously said, I don't want there to be a God. I don't want things to be that way. I want to be free to establish my own, and he was talking about sexual things, my own proclivities. I want to run my own life, and I don't want any God or any Bible or anybody else telling me how to run my life. In those things, there are restrictions. When we start to demand in our own, inside of ourselves, even the following of our own ego, the following of our own demands ends up turning on different tendencies toward that control, to where even our own internal choices end up restricting us. And we become addicted. Addicted to self or addicted to drugs. Addicted to the love of money or addicted to the love of pleasure. Addicted to the demands of our own bodies. We get warned very specifically, do not use your freedom to satisfy the desires of your flesh. Because that's no freedom at all. That is no freedom at all. I told you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, right after what Adam stopped reading for us. The warning of those people. He was talking about people who try to pull us away from Christ and get us into sensual lifestyles. Verse 17, these are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. You ever gone to a water fountain that didn't work? Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, that looks good. Oh, my goodness, a water fountain. You push the button and you get nothing. That's what these promises are like. Choose yourself. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. You run your own life. Or here, come here, try this. You'll love it. Whether it's an internet promise or a
an empty friend's, quote-unquote, friend's promise. They are waterless springs. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loudly boasts to follow, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom. Don't let anybody tell you how to live your life. Don't let marriage bog you down. Go shack up with somebody. That's freedom, because then you're not held together by some empty piece of paper the government passes out, says, well, now you're married and you're not married. That's just a worthless piece of paper. You want freedom in your life? Get rid of all that and just live with whoever you want to live, whenever you want to live, and leave when you want to leave. That's what they promise as freedom. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. We have a Lord in Jesus Christ. We have a promise from our Heavenly Father that in Jesus Christ you find freedom. When you submit your life to your government, you find societal freedom. An organized society that works, where people can safely go to work and safely put their money in the bank because they know it's going to be there when they go next month to count it out. And that's the way it is with banks who obey the laws and aren't corrupt, doing what they want to do. And where departments and companies obey the law and without just doing what they want to do. Where people obey and listen to one another and listen to God without just doing what they want to do. When we all submit into a cooperative effort, then we have freedom. What we fail to see is that we have the same thing between us and our Heavenly Father. Just like our sweet dog, when we prove to God that we're not trustworthy, unfortunately, He doesn't put us on a line. He lets us run. God honors your choice for that kind of freedom. And when you run, as our dog wanted to run, you won't find a safe home to come to that night. You won't find a full dish of food and a loving hand. Go to John 8 and we'll finish the lesson. It sounds like a contradiction, but freedom comes when we submit ourselves to the right authorities. Freedom comes when we are obedient to the right rules around us. Verse 27, John 8, 27. They did not understand that he'd been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just what the Father taught me. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." You see, not even Jesus did what he wanted to do. And the Bible spells that out. Jesus submitted himself to the Father and did what God wanted to do. "I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know," this is the context where this verse is found, "and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you will say we have become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." None of us can claim freedom. We are always enslaved by what mastered us. We read it in Peter. Peter knew this very well because of his own enslavements. Peter knew this very well because of his own embarrassments before the Lord and before us. So when Peter's writing this stuff, he's going straight back to these things Jesus taught him and showed him in his own life. A man is enslaved by whatever has mastered him, said Peter. And Jesus said, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. And if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. Real freedom comes through obedient lives, not rebellious lives, not demanding lives, not self-centered lives. That's the way to anarchy and a mess. And you will find a lot of restrictions in that life. You want a free life? You want a joyous life? Real freedom. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, if I set you free, you are free indeed. Real freedom doesn't come as the world defines freedom. Real freedom. God designed us. He built you. He put His image on you. And He knows exactly the kind of freedom you want and you need. Sometimes we don't realize that's what we want. And sometimes after we realize it, it's a bit too late to enjoy what God wanted us to enjoy. But it's never too late to change, not as long as you can hear from His Word. It's never too late to come to Christ. If there's anyone here today who has not chosen that freedom, if there's anyone here today who's not been baptized into Christ, Dave has chosen a song for us. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and you're free. You're free. You are free to walk forward and choose Christ. You can be baptized into Him today. You can have your sins washed away today. If you're not sure about that, but you want to talk to someone about it, please let us know about that or about anything else you feel a need to come forward and talk to us about. Please sing, stand and come forward while Dave leads us in the song.